the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Friends, we are here with Maria Mastro di Casa. She's living in Jersey right now, okay, on her way to San Diego to be with me and the Brains by way of New York City, Manhattan. She is a woman that has worked on what? Wall Street. So we're going to pick her brain like a boogie. We're going to get all that information. She's also an author and she's pivoting. She's going into a new realm. She's going to meet new people. It's going to be exciting, right all in the middle of the covert. So we're going to ask her, what did she learn from all of this? How does this make her grow? But she's also going to share a very personal story about domestic violence and creating a plan for escape. So let's welcome her. Hello, Maria. How are you?
Hello. Thank you for having me, April. I'm so glad to be here with the Brains. I love it. Thank you so much. I have my cup. It's fabulous.
Well, I'm so glad to have you here. It's important. You have so many messages. Introduce yourself to my Brains. Let them see how you show up.
Yes. I am Maria Mastro di Casa. I am the author of You'll Never, The Journey to What is Possible Through Self-Advocacy. So if you've ever been told you'll never, you can't, you won't, it's not possible, I'm here to tell you I did. I knew I could. And it was possible, and it's possible for you.
Okay, now I keep it 100 with my Brains on the show. How can you assure someone that it's going to be 100 for them? Because everybody's level of 100 is different. What's perfect for one is not perfect. It's not one size fits all, is what I'm saying.
It's never one size fits all. And it's what is your intention for your life? What is your vision for your life? And then, you know, reverse engineer it. And what will it take for you to get to where you want to be? And I was told you'll never. I had dyslexia. I was told I'd never amount to anything. And I was told I'd never get a job in New York. And I took that little token from Brooklyn, New York. And the token is like a Metro card today.
Right.
And I went on that sub. I went onto the subway, and I went into New York, and I got one job, and it led me to a trainee position at a brokerage firm. And so I was told you'll never be a broker. It's a man's world, girl. Lucky you were invited.
What? Is that what they told you?
They told me some other things that I don't know if you watch The Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh yes.
That's the way they talked. I'll try to keep it clean. And at the age of 26, I was the number one broker in my department on Wall Street with 13 men, and I was making six figures at the age of 26.
Wow.
Told you'll never.
Wow. Wow. So you got famous, you made a whole lot of money, and you got married. What happened?
Well, I left Wall Street because I wanted to raise a family. I wanted to have a family. And I met someone, and it was kind of like up and down. And I was young, in my 20s, so I should have maybe realized. And he didn't really have a career. He had a job. And so I helped him create the career as I created.
Was he what we call a W-2 worker? He had a job.
He had a job, and he also had an addiction that I didn't know about.
Ooh.
And so I said, if you do A, B, and C, I see that you have the potential to, and he grabbed onto that and said, can you help me? And so I helped him go from $30,000 to $750,000. And wow. Each step of the way, the more money he made, the more I saw, and I try to describe it like an alcoholic, because it really brings out who you really are. So if you're really a kind, generous person, you'll be like, oh, hi, how are you? And generous. And if you're not, the monster comes out in you. And so this monster came out in him. And sadly, I was at the other end of the punching back, I guess. And so it was difficult because I had children. So once you, I gave up my career, I never went back to Wall Street. So what do you do when you're a woman and you give up, which I don't suggest you do, you give up that financial freedom that you have, and now you're at the hands of, and you have children. I wasn't going to leave my children.
No,
you weren't. So you need to make a plan, like in Sleeping with the Enemy, or, you know, Diary of a Mad Black Woman. It's this, you know, everybody sees this man as this wonderful, wonderful person. And he does have that side, but the darker side, the shadow, mm-hmm. was what overcame, and why for 18 years, I tried to make it work and I just could not.
You got 6 months with me. You smacking and hitting and all that 6 months. But everybody's not in that position. I totally get it. You get there when you get there. And they stay for a lot of reasons, too. I know one woman, her husband verbally abused her like nothing I can imagine. You know, then he tried to get physical after a certain point. But the psychological wear and tear, how did you regain a sense of self? How did you find yourself?
Well, that's very important that you said that. That was a very good point. So I got hit a few times or pushed. The verbal abuse daily. And so before you started recording, you gave me a compliment. And I have to say, I received it and I thank you. Years ago, pretty much from head to toe, not every day, but almost every day, he told me that I was ugly. I was this, something negative almost every single day about me. That once it was over, and it took 3 years and $300,000 for my freedom, anytime someone said something positive to me, I didn't believe it. I didn't understand. I was like, felt like I was this ugly duckling, like no one would want me.
Oh, well.
Because it mentally played with my brain. It did.
Right. Well, you know, that's why we have brains here on the show.
You gotta use your brains. Okay. I'm all with you.
You gotta use your brain. Because let me tell you something. You weren't looking in the mirror, because I think that you are the ultimate sex kitten, and any man would be happy to have you. Your skin is glowing. I don't know what you're feeding that hair. You're sitting straight up. You've got a beautiful tan. You got a beautiful smile. Honey, the world is missing out, okay? So you have arrived, and now that you are here, you've really invented yourself, and you wrote a book. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I wrote the book because I realized that from a very early age, I was advocating for myself. It was in the writing of the book and the people who were helping me write the book, that in third grade, you know, I was told, oh, your career will never amount to anything. She can't even read.
Wow.
So then it happened again in junior high, and I was in a very dangerous school, and all I knew is that I needed to get out. And so I took a stand for myself. I advocated for myself with the principal because I took that statewide test.
Right.
And in the statewide test, the reading test, had I not passed, I would be left back and I'd be in this dangerous school. So I passed the test. He said, how did you go from third grade to a ninth grade? It's not possible. You have to take the New York City statewide reading test again. I was like, what? Me? Just me. Hmm. I said, we know I was lucky. I said, then everyone else has to take it. Because, you know, those are with the number two pencils, with the dots at the time.
Please.
So, you know, I advocated for myself. And then when I got to Wall Street with, by the way, no high school diploma, which I don't recommend. But I had to leave school. It was so dangerous. So, and there were other situations that I share in my book. And so I didn't get to complete because I was in danger. So I go to Wall Street anyway, and I get a tutor, and I find out I was dyslexic. I didn't know that before I was like 18. And I just kept moving forward. So all this time I'm advocating, and then I'm finally excited because this tutor's helping me and I get the education that I finally need. I take non-credit courses at NYU because just because you don't finish school doesn't mean you can't get an education. You can get an education.
Okay.
And you know, and that's what I did. And then I walked into the office and I said, oh my gosh, I just so want to be a broker. And they laughed at me. It's a man's world. Look at you were invited.
Wow.
What does that mean? They said, you'll never be a broker here. Hmm. And they were right. I was not. And there was a lot of harassment. You got paid less. a lot of harassment. Almost got fired for saying no to a boss. He was at the top level. He was in the, I worked in the bond department. So the bond, everybody, if you read the Wall Street Journal, you know what the bond is. That's the 30-year bond I'm talking about. And he, his ego got in the way and he decided he wanted me fired. And he told me to leave quietly. He had somebody tell me to leave quietly. And I had two choices. I could have left, or I'm walking out. And I said, wait a minute. Vinny's the man who hired me. He'll be the man to fire me. And so they told me, I told you to leave. You better go. And I said, no. I'm going to speak to Vinny first. And they called him up and they told him some story. And then I said, may I tell you my side of the story? And he said, yes. And he was like in shock. And I couldn't believe it. He said, oh, Maria, you can come back to Monday morning. I assure you, you'll have a job. I didn't have a job in that department. And I didn't stay with that company.
Wow. You know, so many women are facing that right now.
Still facing it.
And, you know, and the blatant disrespect, just talk to you like you got a tail. And for some reason, I think men forget that they've come through a woman's portal. They have a mother, you know, they have a sister, they have a daughter, and just the level of disrespect, all about the dollar bill. So now you're more heart-centered. You're working with emotional intelligence and coaching women. Tell me a little bit about that project.
Well, right now, my passion is working one-on-one so I can customize a program. Like, how do you want to advocate for the life that you want? What are the steps to take? So whether you're in school, you're in the workforce, you know, you're a successful, busy woman, you don't know how to handle or balance the work, family, life, and have fun at the same time. So everybody's after the mighty dollar. And don't get me wrong, money is fabulous. And that can't be the only thing, is that you're making money, and you're not having any fun, you know?
Exactly. But right now, everyone is just trying to level out. They've gotten through the peaks and the valleys. There's still a lot of uncertainty that's going on right now. Right. There's a lot of noise. The highway is really busy. So you're pivoting. You're moving locations temporarily for a little while. Why uproot yourself now? Why do you feel that this is your now time?
I feel because for the last couple of weeks, I've been pretty still. I had a book signing. I've had a couple of things going on here. And I just keep saying, you know, thank you. What's here for me? And I'm not getting any answers. And I'm getting calls from you, and I'm getting calls from other people in San Diego, different parts of California. And I feel the momentum is there. And listen, if it's not, then it's not. But I don't want to have regrets. I feel like I'm being called there for a purpose.
Right.
And so I'm tuning in and I'm going all out. I'm going there and I'm going to be wide open to the possibility.
Absolutely.
And if I get to be impactful and help women create the life that they want, whether it's in, you know, the fitness area, whether it's in, you know, maybe they're going through a divorce and they don't know which way to turn, or they're in the middle of a litigation, which, you know, I've been in two, and the last one I won in its entirety.
Ouch!
In its entirety. And we're talking, I was taken to court falsely by my children's father, all these things, trying to take money from me. The court had me giving him $30,000 a year of my money, my only support. And I'm scrambling and I'm pivoting. I'm like, okay, now girl, what do you do? And I get to share that with women, what you do. You're going to get a divorce from a violent man. You better know what you're doing because it's dangerous.
It is dangerous. But what else is dangerous is the pages inside of your book. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you, how to purchase a copy of the book, and if you have any online programs or webinars or introductions that you want to offer.
Yes, well, they can reach me at mariamastrodecasa.com. That's my website. They can type in and reach me any way they want. They can reach me on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. And of course, here again is my book, You'll Never, The Journey to What is Possible Through Self-Advocacy. And it really gives you an overview of what it is that I went through and the lessons that I learned. It's not woe is me. It's like, this is what happened. This is what I learned. And this is what you can do also. And, you know, that's why I love to work with women one-on-one. I am working on a program so that I can work with a group, because it would be beneficial to have a group together. You know, right. We feed off of each other, right. Use each other's brains. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can see you also creating a great workbook and an audio program from that as well. Yes. You know, it's just so smooth. So thank you so much for making the investment as a broker. Got some ROI, put in some heavy stock, and I really appreciate that of you. And thank you, Maria, for being on the edge. Come back, and girl, I'm telling you, as soon as you get here, we're going out somewhere, okay? You gonna call me? All right. All right. Brains. Yeah. Oh, Brains, before you go, I need you to subscribe to everything, YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter. Come on now, we gotta raise those numbers, because you keep coming back, and I keep loving on you, okay? Like I'm loving on my new friend. Talk to you guys later. Bye.